This is Not the Average Real Estate Podcast by Not Your Average Real Estate Investor. Dipna Boholt used real estate investing strategies to completely replace the income from her accountancy practice with passive income in just 18 months and has since taught thousands of others to do the same. Welcome to the I Love Real Estate Podcast.
Hey everyone, it's Dipna here from iloverealestate.tv. Now this is part three of the series, the four-part series that I'm bringing to you on the coronavirus, the economics effects, how it's affecting the world economically, the majors in any way, and also here in Australia, and what we're likely to see when we come out the other side. Now, you know, there's a whole lot of rhetoric up on the media, and we've talked about that and how we really can't watch anything else on TV at the moment because it's all about the hysteria of COVID-19. I mean, they've even renamed Corona beer, for God's sake, because everybody was stopping buying Corona beer because it had Corona in there. I mean, if that isn't getting to the absurd, I don't know what is. But I'm here to cut through all of that stuff. I want to talk to you about what the real plan of attack should be for you. This is a time to act. It is not a time to sit back and do very little and just, you know, put your head in the sand and say, that's it, I'm done. You know, let's just stay at home and binge out on Netflix, because I think that's what most people are doing at the moment. Now is a time where you really need to step up. Now is a time to really, get serious about your futures. So in part three, I'm talking about the housing market fundamentals and what that means now, what it's meant previously, and what we're going to be seeing into the future. I'm also going to be talking about Australian fundamentals like population growth, infrastructure spending, things like that. And I've got the special guest for you as well to come on. So he will be here to speak about some of the finance issues and what that actually means. So guys, I know you want to enjoy part three of four. So stay tuned, and I'll be back on the other side, and we'll have a bit of a chat.
The governor of the Reserve Bank of Australia came out and said that house prices are going to surge. Now this is pre-coronavirus, all right? But he was talking about the fundamentals of our economy and why the fundamentals were saying house prices must go up. And the big thing he was talking about is the massive undersupply that is coming through the system at the end of last year and into the following year. So the reason for this is when you create a house, it takes about 8 or 9 months to build a house, but it only houses so many people. When you go and create an apartment building, it takes about a good 2.5 years to bring it to fruition, to bring it to where we can say, you know, it's we've got a certificate of occupancy and you can start to live there. So we've got this delayed lag effect. So if we go back and we have a look at this lag effect and what's happened with starts in the economy and things like that, when prices started to come off at the end of 2017 and in the beginning of 2018, now the reason the prices came off the boil in that period of time was because APRA got involved and artificially put the country into a slowdown because of what they did to lending. And when you don't have lending, that's the lifeblood of an economy. If you don't have blood, you don't live. You go into stagnation, and that's exactly what happened in the economy. And now you can see this by this chart. You know, towards the end of 2019, things, you know, into 18, 19, it was only started to pick up at the end of 2019. And that drop-off was wholly and solely APRA. APRA can take the big blame for all of that, and I'm not ashamed to say it. So what happened was, though, during that time where APRA forced the market into slowdown, the big boys stopped putting their applications in. And this really shows this. This is private residential building approvals. And you can see there's a massive drop off as we come into 2019. And the big boys don't jump into, putting 2.5 years of work and money and time into a new apartment building until they start to see the market start to rise again. So go back to the end of 2017, the beginning of 2018. We had a lot that were continuing through the production period to meet the demand at that point in time. But for this last year to 2 years, we've had a massive drop off in approvals going through or applications for approvals going through. So we've got this, almost 2 year lag. And the thing with this is that they don't start to pick up until the market starts to show a significant increase again in demand and prices increase before they jump in again. So then we've got another 2.5 years before that stock actually hits the market. So we've got somewhere between a 2 to a 4.5 year lag period. So if you have a look at the, around 70% of the housing sales, this is at the end of last year, were from existing housing stock. That really reinforces the fact that we simply didn't have these new stock levels coming through. So we've got this lag effect. We've got undersupply happening from the lag effect in residential housing. On top of that, we've still got an increase in population during this time as well. Now, there are sectors of the industry that are more affected than others, such as obviously with the coronavirus, we're talking about tourism, education, hospitality, retail, arts and recreation, the collapse of the mining industry related infrastructure projects in 2014, which still sees Darwin property values down, from about 30% from what they were. Perhaps a little bit of an oversupply in some of the Brisbane unit markets by around about 11%. The impact of the extreme weather, fires, storms, flooding, which suppressed a lot of the property price growth in some of the regional areas, and that will be slow to respond. And unlike the global financial crisis, where we had a mining industry boom, as well as a monetary and fiscal policy easing, which helped the Australia avoid the recession, the domestic economy now faces new challenges. But you know what? We are so much ahead of everybody else. And the reason is GVA is still your best guide. It is still the best guide to get to show you where the best profits are going to be at any point in time for manufactured growth. And consequently, that's what you need to come back to. You need to come back to those fundamentals. We had Sydney and Melbourne property markets rushing ahead through to 2017 by 58% in Sydney and 75% in Melbourne over that period of time. And then we had the drop-off, 11% for Melbourne and 15% for Sydney. But that was caused by APRA. It wasn't caused by fundamentals. So we start to have a look at this undersupply, and it's continuing to increase. The long-term arrivals are continuing to be there. If you have a look at this chart here, you can see Australia, as a percentage of our per capita, our growth is much, much greater from new arrivals coming in than most of the other major economies around the world. And that's something to remember. Just take that chart in. So you put that into perspective. We've got increasing demand. We've got a delayed effect and a lag effect compounding our undersupply. Dwelling commencements are down. End of story. And they're going to continue to be down. This is put out by the Commonwealth Bank. And it shows there that, the credit has now started to pick up, or it did pre the coronavirus, and the population's increasing. So, from a fundamentals perspective, we are strong. This chart shows exactly the same thing. We are in undersupply at the moment. Our demand is over our supply. So let's take the longer view here for a moment. Australian equity and housing indices monthly. You can see here there will be a retreat to residential housing, both from the private sector and from managed funds. Well, in that first chart, I showed you how much of superannuation funds and managed funds goes into the residential sector. This is going to be a big driver, and there will be more and more of that style of investment. And even more historically, you know, continues to back this up. If we look at the Black Monday crash in 1987, stock market crashed, was a negative shock, in which the Australian share market lost approximately 23% in a single day. Both housing values were largely, but housing values were largely unaffected. By October of 1988, residential property values experienced double-digit growth. In the 12 months to January of 1988, the Australian unemployment rate declined by 50 percentage points. So look, history is with us. At everywhere you look, every period of time, every previous event that has happened, whether we talk about Australia or America or the rest of the world, history is with us. So what does all this mean? The first thing, stop panicking and making decisions from a place of fear and anxiety. Communities are starting to come together. There are some good news stories out there. You know, neighbours are helping each other and looking for vulnerable individuals in their community. And people are sharing moments of gratitude and connectedness. And if you find yourself being overwhelmed by all the negative news, look for the good. Turn it off. There's a Oprah and Deepak Chopra have actually put out the a 21-day meditation, which I think is quite good. So I put it in there for you. It's free. You can go in there, and they're doing a different webinar every single day dealing with uncertainty and having hope in uncertain times. So I thought that's something that all of you should take on board, whether you use them, whether you use the one that I'm going to be doing on Friday night, or whether you do any of the others. It's really important during this time that you keep your head in the right spot. So let me just put that away. All right, what have we got next? What else does it mean? History is repeating itself. History is on our side. Whether we're talking about the Spanish flu, the crash of 1987, the GFC, quantitative easing and printing money, or even the 238-year-old property clock that has proven itself every year in America for 238 years. You know, this is something that I have been talking about for a long time. I've been talking about this since basically 2010. And I've been talking about, you know, where we're at in the cycle. Even though this has hit us now unexpectedly, it actually hits us at the time we should have gone into the mid-cycle slowdown, which is kind of ironic. You know, are there strings being pulled behind the scenes? Who knows? We had an earlier easing off, but that was purely on the back of APRA. APRA caused that. What we're seeing now is the global effect of the mid-cycle slowdown on the full 18-year cycle. Now, remember, in this 18-year cycle that has been going for the last 200-odd years in America, the last 100-odd years in Australia, the second run-up in pricing is always greater and more massive than the first run-up in pricing. So we saw figures there before about Sydney going up by 58% and Melbourne going up by 75% over the, you know, 7 years or whatever it was, 5 years. Then you think about those kind of run-ups in the next 5 years. We come out of this, we go through, you know, this actually puts the this is the 18-year cycles we see at the moment. The bottom of the cycle, this is 2010. That's when we came out of GFC. We had 18 years to that. That puts us at 2028. Now, the first run-up. Now, this is a slide I have been showing for 10 years, okay? This is not something new that I put in to fit the model of the crisis at the moment. Many of you have seen me do this slide many, many times. The bottoming out of this mid-cycle slowdown is due to be 2019-2020. We had an early onset due to the APRA, we had a come out due on our fundamentals. But if you look at the full cycle, this is actually the time we're supposed to be having the mid-cycle slowdown, which puts the peak of the next market somewhere around 2025, 2026. If you think that the market will take about 2 to 3 years to go back into a full, a full reset. So it's nothing new. It's what I've been saying for many, many years. Yes, I didn't expect there to be a global, pandemic happening, but it was certainly, it fits into the normal cycle that we're running. All right, what else? You know, if we look to the experience of those who have come before us, as in China and Korea, they are now well on the road to recovery. You know, China gets a head start in recovery from the mayhem. China has emerged as an unlikely safe haven, and people are running there from a stock market perspective. Signs of China recovery gives Europe hope. The Chinese economy has offered a glimmer of hope for Europe after signs of recovery emerge as Beijing eases back restrictions. So they've gone first, and they're already coming out the other side. China has closed its last coronavirus hospital this week because the number of new cases has fallen so low. Over 80,000 people sick from coronavirus in China, more than 70% have recovered and been discharged from hospital. Doctors in India, France, and the US have been successfully treating COVID-19. With a combination of anti-malarial and other drugs. Researchers of the medical center in Rotterdam claim to have found an antibody against coronavirus. University of Queensland Center of Clinical Research scientists have found that two different registered medications have wiped out the disease in test tube trials. A 103-year-old Chinese grandmother has made a full recovery from COVID-19 after being treated for 6 days in Wuhan, China. Apple has now reopened all 42 stores in China. Scientists in Israel are expected to announce the development of a vaccine. In South Korea, recoveries are beginning to outnumber new infections. A Japanese flu drug has proven effective in treating COVID-19. If you want to look for the good stuff, it's there too. You know, China is definitely on the other side of it. As I said before, my personal experience of importing stuff out of China, it's now open for business. And yes, it went first. So, you know, there is a glimmer of hope as to what that can mean for us if we take this seriously through the process. So we've got strong underlying fundamentals. Fundamentals are strong, particularly in our capital cities, with the exception of Darwin. We have increasing demand coupled with under supply. Continued population growth, even with the borders closed. We've got low interest rates and active easing of lending restrictions by APRA and government sentiment. Basically, we've got the perfect storm. You know, the definition of a perfect storm is an unusual combination of events or things that produce an unusually powerful result. Well, I think we're in for the perfect storm. And when you look at our stimulus package, you know, we've got to implement stimulus packages. Where do we sit on the world stage with that? As a percentage of GDP, we sit smack bang in the middle, where we should be. As a dollar figure per capita, we're smack bang in the middle. The other people move around. But, you know, dollar for dollar, we're making it happen. We are doing the right things. So, what else does it mean? A world gone mad, that's what I think. Short-term pain, medium and long-term massive gain and opportunity. Whilst the media continues to cook up the sensation and hysteria around something that should be taken seriously, but not with the degree of massive fear they are creating, the economy will stall. The question is, how long will it last? All right, my opinion is that we are going to see a good 3 months of pain. It will take 3 months. I think it'll take another month, maybe two, maybe even three, just to get back to, okay, we're over the crisis, everything's great, you know, let's get back to some normality. It's going to take another 3 months, maybe even 6 months, before we are back to where we were before this whole goddamn thing started. So we're looking at probably the end of the year before we move in, you know, back into a normal cycle. There's a lot of people that are predicting somewhere around November. I actually think you'll start to feel it in 3 months. Give it 6 months and you are going to be well and truly, you know, back into the swing of things. But the economy recovering in full, yes, I think it'll be closer to the end of the year. Now, you know, there's other people out there that are going to be more pessimistic than I am. I'm being serious. I'm being real. I'm not saying it's going to be away, gone tomorrow, but, and we do need to take it seriously, but we are so strong fundamentally underneath. I really cannot see it being a, you know, anything that's got a long-term impact. So the other thing is that your position to you're in a position to take advantage of the conditions. If you do go into lockdown, which we might, you need to get your taxes up to date. You need to use this time to get yourself educated, review all of the online I Love Real Estate material, and we will be doing a lot more online. I'm going to do a number of things virtually very, very shortly over the coming month that you can tap into and be part of, and I'll do them over a series, over a, you know, a number of evenings and over the weekends and things like that. You need to take advantage of the fantastic refinancing opportunities at the moment. You know, you need to book in with one of the wisdom strategists and have a full Zoom review. Actually, while I'm on that, I know I've got Clint hanging in the background here. Let me just see if I can bring him in. Clint, are you on there? Hey, there you go. Could you please comment on having reviews at this point in time?
Yes, hi, Dipna. I am here, and hello, everyone joining us on the webinar. It is a fantastic time to review those existing facilities and take stock of your, you know, current position. As I'm sure lots of you are aware, that we've had the two RBA decreases and cuts this month, which one was at the start of the month, and then more recently, we've had the emergency second cut, bringing down the cash rate to the 0.25%. Most lenders did pass on that first cut in full, although the emergency cut, lenders have mostly passed on a significant decrease to fixed rates, and not a lot being passed on to the actual variable rate. We've also seen them, you know, add some to, you know, their deposits, so the term deposit interest rates, just to rebalance some of those things. But we're sort of now seeing, you know, big discrepancy between the variable rate and what is being offered for some of the fixed rates. Therefore, you know, we're seeing fixed rates being offered now in the very, very low twos for, you know, for 2 and 3 years at say 2.09 or 2.19%, which, you know, I've never seen that sort of cheap money around, you know, fixed for a period of time, which can really just lock in, you know, your home loan repayment, as well as fixed loans for, you know, for your investment loans, you know, more probably in the mid to high twos, depending on whether you're able to do P&I versus interest only. And for some of you that have got, you know, still rates sitting in the high threes or early fours, and we're seeing that all the time, that can be a significant saving on a monthly basis, and annualized, you know, we're seeing that we're saving clients thousands of dollars of just restructuring these existing facilities. So we're as busy as ever, and, you know, the Wisdom Group is in full force, you know, open for business, and the whole team mostly working from home, but the whole team is, you know, up and running here to, you know, support you and to do those reviews. So make sure you do reach out to us. You've got all the contact details on the members only website, as well as Dipna said, you know, a great time to also make sure that you've got all your tax returns, you know, all of that housekeeping in order. So reach out to Wisdom Accounting if they're your accountant and get the information required to get the tax returns in and lodged, especially if you're a, you know, small business owner and you're looking to take advantage of some of the stimulus package and the incentives that are on offer. You'll need to, you know, make sure that those tax returns and your BAS statement for this first quarter is all lodged and up to date, so you can receive the stimulus that's available to you. So even if you're, you know, thinking about going back to your existing bank, locking in a fixed rate, I would say it's really important just to have the conversation with your finance strategist first before you go and just lock in a fixed rate, so we can talk about the big picture and just, you know, make sure and compare to what else could be available in the market and whether it's a good idea and for what sort of term. You know, do you just take out a 1-year fixed rate, a 2 or 3 year fixed rate, and each of them obviously have, you know, different objectives of what you're trying to achieve, you know, longer term. At the same stage, you might be wanting to, you know, refinance and get some equity out for, you know, for future opportunity that definitely will be there over the next 6 to 12 months. So again, we're open for business. Let us know how we can help. All the contact details are available on the members' website. Otherwise, you can just call our 1300 Wisdom number and it'll come through to the different divisions of the business. But great to join you on the webinar. Dipna, you're doing a fantastic job in dissecting the, you know, the uncertainty that's out there, but we're, you know, more than happy to follow through on a one-on-one basis with everyone as part of the community. And all you need to do is reach out to your current finance strategist you've got a contact, or let us know if you don't currently have someone that you're liaising with. Thanks, guys. I'll hand back to Dipna now.
Well, times are a-changing, aren't they? And it's really about being able to adapt to it. It's being able to be accepting of the changes and make the best out of what we have available. And I think that little talk that we did then with Clinton, how finance has changed and what we can expect into the future. I mean, deals are still being done. I was chatting to one of my students the other day about a deal that they've got in throes at the moment. And she said it's actually been easier to get the finance to go into that deal because there's not a lot of business around. So banks are actually a little bit more hungry for deals at the moment. But remember also that there are COVID-19 clauses that are now being put into contracts. Now, if you want to know more about that or any of these things, or you want to see the full version of part 1, 2, 3, and 4 and all of the charts and be able to see all the charts as well as just not be able to hear them, but see it as well, you can go to my website, which is ilovereallestate.tv. And while you're there, you may as well sign up and jump on to one of my masterclasses that I've done. Now, it's probably about a 2-hour masterclass that I did and training, full-on training on all this information and a whole lot more. And that is free for you there on the ilovereallestate.tv website for you. So make sure you do that as well. Now, the other thing I'd like to give you as a bit of a gift, the opportunity to sit down and have a bit of a chat with one of my advisors. Now, it's a 45-minute consultation. This is a massive opportunity for you to step up and to take advantage. So if you are feeling anxious, if you are feeling you know, unsure, unclear of what your plan needs to be moving forward, or if you're the other way, if you are someone who is very confident and you're getting excited about the future and you really want to step forward and take action, then I've set aside a few advisors to really sit down and spend some time with you and work through a bit of a plan of attack for the future. What is your plan? What do you have to do to come out of this the other side better, stronger, bigger, and make more profits while everybody else is sitting around binging on Netflix? And I will be back very soon to do part 4 with you. So I'll catch you again, guys. Bye now. Stay safe.